Yeah, we're starting now. We're starting up. Welcome, first of all, to the meeting. This is perhaps a bit of a new venture, really, because I don't think we've actually had a meeting, certainly not in this country, about the politics of autism on this scale. Basically, for those of you who are unaware of what this is all about, it is basically to sort of challenge the conventional views of autism from the media, from experts in the scientific and medical world, and, you know, some parents also, that it is basically a serious disability disorder or set of disorders requiring treatment or cure, and to, in fact, promote to an extent and discuss alternative views, such as that which has been featured in some recent articles in the media. For example, there's one in the Guardian a few weeks ago, which basically have a much more positive view. This meeting essentially fits into this latter book of viewpoints. Sorry, could we actually keep questions till after the meeting?
I was just going to ask what time it finished up from.
About 9 o'clock. We're aiming for 9 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Anyway, as I was saying, the term neurodiversity has been coined, not just in relation to autism, but more broadly to suggest that those who are not normal are not necessarily disordered, but different to the norm. And while not denying that the autistic people do often have real problems, this meeting will ask whether it is society that is the main cause, directly or indirectly, of these problems, and whether the solution is not to find better treatments or to remediate autism as a disorder, but to accommodate and accept people who are different, even disabled, while seeking to address genuine problems that cause suffering or unhappiness. And the meeting should also do more than just discuss these questions generally, but also perhaps we'll hopefully discuss ways in which autistic people might begin to struggle for this acceptance in society. I want to briefly outline the structure of the meeting. First of all, there'll be a short film, which is about 6 minutes or
at least 8 minutes.
8 minutes long, called In My Language by Amanda Baggs, who is a severely autistic woman from Vermont, currently living in Vermont anyway, and which has actually been shown on CNN, actually. So it has some...
There's a take from it on Channel 4 as well.
There was indeed. There were only short talks by Dinah Murray, Larry Arnoffer, and also David Morris, who is over there. And we'll then open the meeting to the floor for questions and comments from the audience. I do want to ask that people don't interrupt others when they're speaking, whether that's the platform speakers or members of the audience speaking. Well, thank you for trying.
I don't expect other people to do that for me.
Well, no. I want to keep the meeting flowing and as quickly and efficiently as possible, and not be held up by sort of lots of interruptions. Because I do want to end by nine. And also, a sheet of paper is going to be passed around to everyone, so people who want to keep in touch with other things that may be planned in the future can put their name and contact details down. So I'm going to pass it around now. Could somebody perhaps take one to pass it around? Just put your name and contact details.
Is that the correct time, Doctor?
Yes, yes. It'll be yes. If anybody can find a pen as well, possibly.
Is this something to lose or?
I've just got a train to get back, so I've got the last train in Paddington.
What time? Okay, we'll be told.
No,
we'll
finish
by
5.
Time,
I'm not to train, so I didn't check.
Okay, I'll go. Yes, sorry. Can we pass that pen around as well, people who don't have the pen? Okay, right, so I'll start off by introducing Dinah Murray, first of all, who will introduce, first of all, the short film In My Language. Dinah Murray has a PhD in linguistics, which has led to her keen interest in autism for over a decade. She's currently a tutor for Birmingham University's distance learning course in autism, has published widely about autism, both in Britain and abroad, and she also runs the Autism and Computing homepage with Mike Lesso, which was featured in the Times a few years back, and is currently in charge of the Pausautive project on YouTube. And she'll introduce the Amanda Light video and then speak for about 10 minutes. Over to the
Amanda. Okay. The Amanda Light video is one of the videos. It's one of the videos in the Pausautive group. The Pausautive group was created as a YouTube group to do something to counteract the negative media images that are constantly promoted and which the autism charities rather depend on. This was made by Amanda Baggs herself. She always makes all her own videos. She's just recently made another one, which is called If You Can't Do X, Why Can't You Do Y? my all-purpose answer, which I highly recommend as well, but in my language is what's promised today, so we'll go for it now. Okay. Some of it's a little bit dark, the quality is not really great, I'm sorry.
Not considered it thought at all, but it is a way of thinking in its own right. However, the thinking of people like me is only taken seriously if we learn your language, no matter how we previously thought or interacted. As you heard, I can't stay for long to what is wanting. There is already a great height, something in your language, that you refer to me as calling communication. I smell things. I listen to things. I feel things. Taste things. I look at things. It is not enough to look and listen and taste and smell and feel. I have to do those to the right things, such as look at books, and fail to do them to the wrong things. For else people doubt that I am a thinking being. And since their definition of thought defines their definition of remembered so ridiculously much, they doubt that I am a real person as well. I would like to understand how many people, if you met me on the street, would put me down with this. I find it very interesting by the way that failure to learn your language is seen as a deficit, but failure to learn my language is seen as so natural that people like me are officially described as mysterious and puzzling rather than anyone admitting that it is themselves who are confused, not autistic people or other cognitively disabled people who are inherently confusing. You know, even if it is non-communicative, we don't speak the standard language. But other people are not considered non-communicative. They are so non-reveal to our own languages as to believe they don't exist. The end, I want you to know that this has not been intended as a voyeurist freak show where you get to look at the books I work with the autistic mind. It is meant as a strong statement on the existence and value of many different kinds of thinking. Dimension in the world where how close you can adhere to a specific one of them determines whether you are seen as a real person, or an adult, or an intelligent person, and in the world in which those determine whether you have any right. There are people being tortured, people dying, because they are considered non-persons, because their kind of thought is so unusual as to not be considered thoughtable. Only when the many shapes of which members are recognized will justice and human rights be possible.
Okay, that's been seen by about 300,000 people. And that's not counting it being seen on CNN, clips of it, and on Channel 4. So it's a very, very effective medium doing some sort of video, as Larry also knows. Okay, I'm not going to...
You can you speak up? We can't hear at the back.
Sorry, I will speak up.
Thank
Is
you.
That better? Okay. 300,000 people saw that on YouTube so far. And the fact that Amanda made it, and it received attention, first of all, I think, in the New Scientist. And she was invited to a seminar at MIT as a result of it, in which she fully participated, and they have now given her a part-time job as a researcher among them at MIT as a result of that film. Okay. When I'm going to move on to my talk, first of all, just a couple of messages. Wendy Lawson, who is an autistic woman that some of you may have heard speak, she's a dynamo. She's sorry she's not here. She would have been if she could be. And she wants to know, but good wishes all round and positive outcomes. And also we got messages from Tessa and Paul Bourgeois. Some of you probably know them, people who were at the first Altscape will remember Heather and Paul, who were involved in organising it. And they said, have fun, don't push yourselves too hard. And this informal meeting on Sunday sounds to me like a good idea. Way of getting round the issues of bulleting boards and too many messages coming in and being overwhelmed. Okay. This is the first real slide of my presentation. Asking to be treated fairly is not asking for much. Everyone needs to live in a just world. Accommodating autism is just and fair. Therefore, everyone would benefit from living in a more autism-friendly world. Okay. So we're not asking for anything special. We're asking for something very, very basic when we're asking for accommodations. What makes it such an unfriendly world? Well, there's been a steep, steep rise in the rate of change during the last 100 or more years. It's been phenomenal. It's exponential. Things are changing faster all the time at the moment. This is not helpful if you don't like too much uncertainty in life. A key area of change has been the labour market. Okay, just pause and have a little look at that. Right, easily give up, yes. Back then, construction services. Services industry is this one. This is 1841. It's a fairly large sector, but it's not huge. This one also perhaps requires some social versatility. I analyse these figures down into areas of the labour market which require social versatility. Obviously, the service industries strongly do. To some extent, the utilities do. They're connecting with the public all the time. Mining, agriculture, manufacturing, construction, not so obviously needing to be socially versatile. So in 1841 it looked like that, 1931 looked like that, 2001. The service sector is just eating out the rest. The only area that has held up amongst construction, manufacturing, mining and agriculture is construction. Construction has almost exactly the same proportion all the way through this. But the others, complete redistribution. In some ways it's even worse than that. If you look at the job ads and you pick up new scientists, you go back, every advertisement for a job says, okay, you've got to have a first in physics, right? But as well as that, you've got to have team skills and be a brilliant communicator. And that's there right from the start in their advertisements. It's built in. No. I want to argue later that's not necessarily a problem for us, really. But it is superficially a problem for us. Another of the reasons it's an autism-unfriendly world is because, well, this is my view, is that 20th century psychology, trying to be scientific, used statistics. Now, statistics are a way of losing individual variation. Yeah, it is not the right way to do psychology. It's a really bad mistake, and the consequences of it is that there are these milestones which all these poor parents are getting hysterical about. Oh, no! You know, such and such is supposed to happen by 2.5. It still hasn't happened in his 4, or his 20, or whatever. Milestones don't happen like that. Development doesn't happen like that. It's just an illusion. And it pathologizes anybody who doesn't fit in the middle of the bell curve, which is your statistical, certainly say, okay, most people are in here, the old balls around the edges. Okay. And we're glorifying being in the middle, as though being just like everybody else was a very good thing. No reason to believe that at all. Quite the opposite. In fact, not all the changes have been autism unfriendly. We at least have technology. This is something. And it's a big something. An autistic friend complained she was trying to have a debate with intensive behaviour modifiers, and they wouldn't communicate with emails. They would not communicate if they're using emails. He said, we don't like emails. You've got to talk on the phone. Or write proper letters. And this is the kind of issue that I think we need to deal with, is that we've got to get acceptance for ways of communicating which are not necessarily neurotypical friendly. Okay. This is a quote from Hesse, which I thought put very well, that if you have someone who can't speak, you give that person a communication device, you change the world in a way which makes them adaptive. And you may have moved that person from the losing side of the equation to the winning side. You move that person from someone who has no way of contributing to society and receives no respect, probably, to somebody who does have a way of communicating and does receive respect and is treated as a real human being and not dismissed. Amanda Baggs, who you saw earlier, her blog is called Ballast Existence. It's a German word, I'm not blaming the Germans, but it means a life that is a disposable life, a life that doesn't really matter. Too many autistic people lead that kind of life. We've got to get them back into the loop so that they're contributing. And with effective communication systems in place, autistic workers will be able to participate and can be fantastic team workers. People know what the task is and they know what their job is. Boy, you know, you're going to get energy, you're going to get determination, you're going to get a lot of hard work, and you're going to get persistence, which is a very, very necessary thing. And it helps everybody. Okay. The situation is that the more you need a communication device, the less likely you are to get anywhere near a computer. You live in a residential home, the only computers you ever see are in the office where you're not allowed to go. This is really bad. So historically, the people who don't talk have been most likely to be excluded from accessing anything like a computer. However, the law is now on our side. The guidelines for the Mental Capacity Act and the coming independent living legislation give us a right to assistive technology, including computers and the internet. Okay. And this is because we lobby for it. I don't want to mention this, but we lobby for it. You can lobby for things, it works. There are actually ways to get through to the government and get people to listen. Last year at Altscape, we sent a message from Altscape Autism Users Group, something like that. It had an impact. The first draft of the Mental Capacity Act guidelines didn't mention information technology at all. The final draft had lots about it, including a little vignette about somebody rather like Amanda Baggs who lives in a residential home and they give her, and boy, everything is magic. And of course, it's not really quite that easy, but progress, real progress. And the Human Rights Act implies that all of that is inalienable. This is stuff that we can really fight for. The Human Rights Act is taken very, very seriously by people, partly because it's had an impact and there have been cases that have been brought. Okay, it's not by everybody, but it does frighten people because there have been cases that have been brought. They feel that it's a law which is slightly more likely to be applied than most of the laws. This government has passed thousands of laws. Okay, no question. There are far too many laws that have been passed. Most of them are not being acted on. We have to take that into our own hands. If we don't act on the new laws, nothing will happen. If we don't monitor them, nobody else is going to. The only thing that matters to the people who monitor these things is health and safety issues and money. That's very, very unfortunate, but it really is true. Okay, so we've got to have an impact somehow. We've got to become a group, a user group. Being a user group is a recognised category which may have some impact. I assume that David is going to talk to us more about the disability activists and what they've been doing and give us some advice about how to build on that, because there's been an amazing amount of good work that's been done. Although one doesn't want to have a medical model, and the user group concept tends to fit into a medical model, in practice, that's how autism is dealt with in the world. So if we want to make an impact, we may possibly have to say user group. I don't know. Just a thought. I wanted to just run quickly through some models. Okay? Nearly three? Am I allowed more than 10 minutes? Okay. Really quick. All common America, it's dedicated to social justice for all citizens. They've done a lot of work getting assistive communication to people. I believe they're a good model and would be good allies.
And not everyone likes them.
I know, but there are reservations about all of these. Okay, there are reservations about all of these, but they're trivial reservations as far as I'm concerned. These are good people. The TARP project has been, again, very, very constructive, and it has One of the things it does, it has a bunch of autistic speakers who are people approach them for, and they are recommended, and they go and give talks all over the place. And so they do outreach that way. They've been, I think, a good one. Somebody's going to say, oh no, Male Independent Living Foundation, oh no, no. But I believe these are all worthwhile allies. And in the UK, I think we've got the Disability Action Network, Larry has some connections with, I've got some slightly remote connections with, the Ability People, is it Ability, or is it Ability? It's Ability, I think, network. I think myself that if we're going to have an impact, then we do want to make alliances with organisations which have a bit of clout, and that therefore possibly the Autism Department of Birmingham University would be a good ally to have. We've got to make sure that anyone who has an ally is not trying to take us over, and we're going to have to be extremely clear about that and have very clear guidelines about what allies are allowed to do, but I think it's going to be very important to have allies. We can become a recognised organisation, we've got to decide what we're going to be. Aiming at getting autistic human rights will be seen as a proper aim by everybody. If we say we're trying to get democracy for autistic people, that won't be seen as a proper aim, because it will be seen as politics. And I know we're doing politics, but maybe best to pretend we're not to. We're not. And we can make a difference, okay? And there's almost certainly a better chance now because of extensive past activism. This book came out in 1980, and it was written by Joanna Ryan, who was a psychologist, and Frank Thomas, who was a service user back then. And it was really a revolutionary bit of work. And what it says on the back is, mentally handicapped people are not sick, yet they are often forced to live in hospital. Institutions that handicap them even further. They do not have a life of their own. Why as a society do we place them out of sight? Now, the institutions got closed down. These activists actually had a real impact, and it really changed things. Okay? It's worth it. Okay, I won't give you the clever quote about maths, but stuff we can be good at. Getting stuff into the public eye, public speaking, identifying key targets. Some people can cope with committees. There may be some people here who volunteer for committees. These are all things which I hope some people here will say, yeah, I'm good at that. Okay? I'm quite good at getting research published. I'm quite good at writing diplomatic letters. I can't do committees. I can't do websites. I can make videos, but nothing like as good as Amanda's. Not as good as Larry's either. And Larry's got very high standards, as I'm sure we all know. Everybody here can help work out a list of reasonable accommodations in general. That's it. That's the important. Okay. Cheers. You can do that.
Yes, I forgot to, yes, I forgot to actually state at the start of the thing, 2 points actually. I wrote them down actually, because I completely forgot to talk to you about them. First of all, we're filming this, by the way. I think it's being filmed by, is that Mike Lesser, I think?
Yeah, Mike Lesser lent us the camera and told us how to point it and press the buttons.
Okay. The other thing, you may have all got those interaction badges. I'm sorry, I actually have this one down as well and scribbled down. The interaction badges basically are if you have a trouble interacting with other people because of your autism, then basically it is green for yes, please talk to me, and red if you're feeling overloaded and don't want to talk to you. And the other thing was we are going to use the death applause system because some people don't actually like the sound of applause, so we're clapping our hands like that rather than clapping. I should have announced all this earlier on, and do apologise, I completely forgot you.